episode of Outlaws of the West podcast, covering lost trucks on the West Coast, far and wide. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. I'm Vince Knackard, and someone's missing. Oh, it's MJ. Yeah, so MJ is an essential employee. He works at O'Reilly's, and he couldn't make it tonight, but he will be back next Friday, so MJ will not be joining us tonight, sadly. But we have an upcoming guest. Rod Wood will be joining us in just a few moments. But we also have, I have a special co-host for today as well. We're going to introduce him shortly. But for now, you know, let's check out some of our sponsors. Let's check out Rogue Energy. You know, when I'm editing videos or, you know, playing golf, something like that, I need energy. And where do I go? I go to Rogue Energy, you know, just pour the powder in the shaker and there you go. And I'm off and ready to go and energize. So Rogue Energy, you can use our promo code at checkout, MTLS10, for 10% off your purchase. I would definitely go use our promo code. Saves you guys a lot of money for sure. But, you know, let's bring in our first guest. Let's start philosophy a little bit early, actually. Let's do philosophy for the whole episode. Introducing Phil Vicinanza, philosophy. Phil, welcome.
What's going on? We're doing philosophy the entire episode. That's right. I'm co-hosting with Vinny this week with the one and only Rod Wood as our guest tonight. I'm super excited to be here, and I'm super excited for this podcast.
Oh, man, I'm excited, too. You know, we got the legendary Rod Wood coming on shortly. Let's go look back at some history of Rod Wood. He's driven many trucks, but let's not share too much until we bring him on. What should these viewers expect when we bring on Rod Wood?
I don't even know what to expect from Rod Wood. You know, I've known Rod for so many years. I was actually looking it up earlier. There's been only a handful of drivers that I've seen perform more than Rod Wood. You know, living here in Arizona, it seems like every event in Arizona, whether big or small, Rod Wood has his hand in it. He's taught me a lot over the years. He's always, you know, welcomed me and my dad to all the different events that he's at and be a part of his team or his entourage. He's never short of a good story, and, you know, he's been in this business longer than we've been alive, and he's continuing to take names, whether he's driving McGruff or El Perro Loco or American Made or whatever is on his truck, and I'm sure we'll be talking about all those different bodies and more throughout this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're in Arizona and you're at a monster truck show, you're just bound to see McGruff. I mean, that's a classic truck out here in Arizona, and it's always nice seeing those police lights whenever he's on the track. But, you know, we're waiting on Ron. He's going to be here shortly. But, you know, let's talk about upcoming events. I announced this the other night. We have July 3rd on the WJS Motorsports TV YouTube channel. We'll be having the first ever virtual event at Del Mar, California. Eight of the best drivers, on the West Coast. You'll see real drivers battling it out in virtual trucks. It's going to be great. It's going to be a professional broadcast. And you know what, Phil? Let's take a look at it. I mean, I'm pretty excited for it. I think the fans should be. And if you're not already excited for it, you're going to be after you watch this promo.
Del Mar, California, get ready for the first annual virtual West Coast Monster Truck Shootout, featuring some of your favorite monster trucks, such as the original monster truck, Big Blood, Racing World Champion, Bounty Hunter, Obsessed, and more. Three competitions, Monster Truck Time Trial Racing, Monster Truck Best Trick Competition, and Monster Truck Freestyle. July 3rd on WGAS Motorsports TV on YouTube, 7 o'clock Pacific Time.
You know, I'm pretty stoked for that. I mean, you know what? You're going to hear it first here on the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. We're going to be having, you know, let's take a little sneak peek at our lineup. We got Juan Munoz behind the wheel of Unnamed Untamed. You saw him at the Real Life Del Mar. He will be piloting Unnamed Untamed virtually. So, I mean, we're going to see Brandon Galley pilot Wicked Strong. We're going to also see Eric Swanson take on the virtual world. I'm pretty excited for that. Phil, what do you think?
Super excited as well. It's always cool to see so many virtual events, especially when we get to build one like Del Mar, which is a marathon week, if you've ever been out to Del Mar, California, and to have not only real-life drivers, but real-life drivers that compete almost every year in Del Mar, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be July 3rd, like you said. It's great to have WGAS Motorsports a part of it as well, and it's just going to be a great event. You're going to be hearing more about it as the weeks go on here with the podcast, and like I just said, I can't wait for it, and it's going to be exciting.
Well, you know, if you have any questions for our guests, please leave them in the comments for Rod Wood. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of questions. There's a lot of, you know, questions people have for Rod. You know, he's competed in California, New Mexico, all over the United States. And I know a lot of people have stories about him. But Phil, talk a little bit about Rod Wood. What is, you know, one of his, I guess, biggest accomplishments, and what's a memory that stands out to you about Rod Wood?
You know, we were talking about a little bit earlier. Rod's been in the game for a long time. He's really seen the evolution of the sport, you know, from the ground to where it is now. And, you know, being at the events of Rod, it's, you know, he's seen so much, and he tells a lot of funny stories, and he just acts like he's a complete goofball. Anybody that's worked around Rod, he knows he's always good to have a joke with. And I did this event with him up in Globe, Arizona. It's like middle of nowhere town. It's a super small fair. And Rod, before the event, he was cleaning his window, making sure all the dust is gone or whatever. and he's sitting there on the hood of McGruff, and he starts posing like he's being photographed for a swimsuit spread. And sure enough, we're all watching him laughing, like, what's Rod doing up there? And then he turns his back real quick, and next thing you know, he's a big crack in the hood. He's just sitting there, and he's got a crack hood. We didn't even do an event yet. And we were all just sitting there cracking up laughing. The crowd didn't know no different, but, you know, it was just little things like that. This makes it so much fun, especially when you're around Rod. I know everybody lights up when the McGruff lights come on the truck. I know up there in Globe, super small affair. Lights turned on, the crowd went ballistic. He didn't even hit nothing yet. He all he had was a cracked hood and some police lights, and he was already the crowd favorite.
That's great. And you know what? Maybe we can get a little backstory on what happened there. But without further ado, let's bring on our guest, Rod Wood. Rod, welcome to the podcast. How are you tonight?
All right. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Doing good.
So what has Rod Wood been doing to keep himself busy?
Well, right now we've just been haven't been doing much with the monster truck at all. We've just been towing, heavy recovery, things of that nature, just keeping myself busy, not really thinking about monster trucks too much. You know, it's kind of sad what happened to the business, but it'll come back.
Oh yeah, and not a lot of people know on how you started in the monster truck industry. Let's start from the beginning. How did you start out in the monster truck industry, and how did you get your, like, what was the beginning for Rod Wood?
Well, you know what? I've been a fan of you know, since the early 80s, when monster trucks started getting popular. Like I said, I was a really big fan. We were into mud bogging. There was mud bogging here in Arizona. It was big. Then they started putting big tires on them and crushing cars. And so I was hooked, you know. It was something I always wanted to do. And my friend Dan F., he bought a monster truck and named it American Made, and allowed me to hang around them and kind of like learn something and be around monster trucks. And so that kind of got me going. I was really hooked at that point. And then I went into the Marine Corps. So I did my time in the Marine Corps, came out, started hanging around, basically no problem, monster truck. And John Moore and Heidi, they basically kind of like taught me the ropes of how the monster truck industry works. We were back east, he was out of Tennessee, you know, so I kind of learned everything, did the Penda series with him, went, you know, did winter up in, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota. So I got the whole experience, and I met a lot of good people, a lot of announcers, a lot of promoters. And then it was time for me to come home, and eventually bought the American Made truck from Dan F. And then it's all uphill from there.
Oh, you totally got it, Rod. You know, everybody's got to get a start and run around with no problem. That's actually going to be one of my first questions. I don't think a lot of people knew that. You also had some seat time in that truck. But now you're American Made. This is where people really start to get to know Rod Wood. Where are you competing? Where are you, you know, making your name out there with American Made?
Well, American Made, we did a lot of small shows with it. I don't think I did anything big at first. We did a couple, I think it was SRO shows, United Hot Rod Association shows, big stadiums. I had, it was 5 tons, no planetaries, leaf spring. I really didn't know much what I was doing. I was learning the business as I went, and you know, learning things the hard way. Yeah, I did San Diego Stadium. You know, for a while there, everybody would tell me what not to do, and for some reason, I would do it. They tell me, don't hit that pole. First thing I did is hit the pole. You know, stay off the grass. Well, I ended up in the grass. So pretty soon people quit telling me what not to do, and it actually worked out really good for me.
Like I said, everybody's got to have their start. So you're out there in American Made, but then soon after, you debut a new name, and it's maybe the name that everybody knows you for the most, and that's McGruff. Where did that partnership come from? How did you get a hold of them, or did they get a hold of you? How did you become American Made to McGruff?
Well, I still had the Leaf Spring truck, and I wanted something different. I wanted, you know, the 3D trucks were just starting to come out, and I wanted something with a positive message. So I got a hold of National Crime Prevention Council out of Washington, D.C., pitched the idea to them. They shot a couple of my ideas down. It was originally 100% 3D all the way down to his shoes, but they were afraid I was going to break his legs off and the kids would freak out and stuff. So, and it had a tongue and everything, I don't think you've ever seen the drawings of it. It was pretty cool. And, so we just did the modified 3D version, which is just the arms and the head. And that was approved. So matter of fact, I think the first one was just stickers. And then we went to 3D body with the Patrick, truck.
That's pretty interesting to hear that the original 3D McGruff is going to be a full 3D body. I mean, just thinking about what that looked like, that'd be pretty interesting. But talking about 3D bodies, you know, we've seen the 3D body on El Paraloco. I mean, will we ever see a 3D McGruff or El Paraloco come back in the future, or are we just sticking to 2D?
Well, the problem is with that particular design, with the shocks and the travel and how everything sits, it really doesn't fit. So I am going to have to either cut it up or make a new mold out of it. The last one, El Paraloco, it was destroyed in Mexico. I rolled over on the hood, and it just mangled it.
You know, talking about Mexico, El Paraloco has done a lot of Mexico shows. You know, down in Mexico, they take the shows very seriously, and I've heard it's like a different experience. What was it like doing shows in Mexico rather than in the United States?
Well, you know, the thing about it is we would take, first couple times we took McGruff to Mexico. It wasn't a good fit. Okay. So what we did, and we had other people, we weren't doing really well over there. And so we decided one day, me, Jack Aberna, included, we decided we were going to basically just come home and do something different and make a truck just for Mexico. And, so basically what they were calling McGruff over there was a crazy dog. So that's how El Paraloco got its name. The fans actually named that truck. So it became a fan truck and in Mexico, and it's one of the most popular trucks in all of Mexico, still to this day. I have a great time. Everybody that goes down there, we have such a good time because it's all about having fun down there. I mean, we laugh, we joke, we just let loose, and we're not really worried too much about, you know, who's going to win, or, you know, it's nice to win, give the trophies back to the fans there. The fans are just, you know, they're incredible. They're electric. And for us to experience that rather than, let's say, a gravedigger or something, it's really special for us.
those events in Mexico are always big. They're big caliber lineups. They're in big stadiums, and they have great talent that comes from all over, but including in the West Coast, especially drivers like Jack Coburna. And you mentioned Jack, and we see him a lot at the same events as you. How much has a competitor like Jack, who's now a Monster Truck Hall of Famer, how much of an influence has he had on your career?
Well, me and Jack, you know, we always met at these shows, and you know, I thought, you know what, I'm going to do what Jack did. You know, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to follow his lead, and then take it from there. But for a while there, it really didn't work out well for me. I always ended up upside down. You know, he had that two-wheel drive monster truck that kind of absorbed things a little bit better than my suspension. So I quit doing that. But ever since then, you know, we always joke about, oh, why don't you just follow me? Why don't you do what I do? And, you know, sometimes like in Mexico, we'll do that, and we'll tear up the whole arena. We'll just have a blast. We're laughing, you know, the whole time we're doing it. He's a really good guy. You know, he's the type of guy that you break something in the olden days, okay? Let me go back a little bit. You break the leaf spring pin. The front axle slides all the way back on one side. So what we used to do is we used to chain it all back together, get in it, and make another run. You know, and I miss those days, you know, when we could do that. You know, why we would do it today, I don't know. I look back and then I'm like, what were we thinking? But it was a blast. It was a real blast, you know. We could get away with it then. But he's taught me a lot. He took one of my motors one day. We were in California, and I popped the motor, broke a rod, sent the piston through the cylinder, you know, and I had like four more shows to do. So, and I didn't have a motor. So he helped me. We took it down. We took the pistons out, and we just patched it up, duct tape, Permatex'd it, and I made it, you know, for the rest of the show. You know, it was vibrating, but it made it. Never did blow up. So things like that, he knows, and we try. We feed off each other. He's a really good guy. I think he's a little bit underestimated as a monster truck driver. And his gears in his head always are turning. They're always turning. But he's a really good friend of mine. And, you know, him and Rocky get along with my wife. So it's, I really enjoy the company, and, you know, he's one of my best friends in the industry.
Yeah. The Coburnas are great people. They're always a good time to be around. You know, you just never know what Jack's going to do in the truck. But, another competitor that you became very close with is a Rick Swanson. And in 2004, you had a very unique opportunity to campaign an Obsession truck for the Obsession race team, except your truck was a little different. It wasn't that typical yellow and blue and purple scheme, but it was red and gray. What went into that partnership, and how did Rob Wood become an official driver of Obsession?
Well, Rick was looking to expand a little bit. And, you know, of course, you know, hey, maybe he just idolized me. Who knows, you know? But It was fun. I got to go to the West Coast or the East Coast for him. I ran out there a little bit under Obsession. We did have one of his bodies on there. We did paint it, you know, the Easter egg color. But, you know, it was fun. It was definitely fun. And I like Rick a lot. Him and his son, you know, they're a blast, his wife. You know, we were just trying something new. I ran it that one season for him and then went back to mine. But, you know, he had sponsorships he had to take care of. I do believe one was Line-X. And I did Line-X displays for him. You know, I'm really kind of honored that he let me run one of his bodies.
Oh, yeah. We have a question from Cameron Miguez. He wants to know, Creighton's motors are $60,000. How much are rods?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I have several different motors. I have an arena motor, which is basically, 509 steel rods, steel crank, aluminum pistons. It's really not much, it's aluminum heads, probably, 20 grand into that one. Then I have the 540s, which breaks a lot of stuff. And those are right in the 35,000 from top to bottom.
We have another question from Brandon Culpepper. He wants to know, what's your favorite pizza?
Wow. All right. I like pepperoni, jalapeno, something a little bit spicy. But I like good pizza. I really don't like, Domino's and stuff. But I'll eat it.
Man, you just never know what kind of questions you're going to get here. Good job, Brandon. So we kind of know you have the three faces of Rod Wood. You have McGruff, and then you have El Perro Loco, and now we're back to American Made. You reintroduced the name just a few years ago. Why was it a good time to bring back the name, and where does it kind of stack up with the other two bodies you already run?
All right, American Made. This is the flagship of our organization. This is what everything's based off of. Dan was very patriotic. I went in the Marine Corps. I did my stuff in the Marine Corps. I was very patriotic. You can't find somebody who loves their country more than I do. But I'll tell you what, it really hits home with me. The flag thing, it just means a lot to me. And, I thought in these times, my son, actually, Murphy, he really wanted to come back with that truck. He's patriotic too, and it's just a wonderful truck and what it stands for, and everybody could get behind it. That's pretty much why I went back with it, and I didn't think people were gonna like it as much as they did. I have a rap guy that just did an amazing job on it. I'll always love that truck.
Always love the patriotic themes, especially one that has history in the sport like American Made. We have another question from Mike Mentor of the Warhead Mini Monster Truck. He wants to know what you think of the mini monsters that compete on the West Coast.
I think they're really cool. And I like them. I get excited when I see them. I can remember if I was young and I had the opportunity to jump in there. Wow, that would have been amazing because, they act like real monster trucks. And, it would just be a blast. The crowd loves them. It gives youngsters, some seat time. Long time ago, my son, we put him in a ride truck. I think he was like 12 years old and let him drive it around and everything. And, so he got some seat time when he was 14 years old. Well, 12 years old, he was loading the truck for me. And then the 14 years old, Del Mar, California, boom, we put him in a truck. Don Borba said, or John Borba, he said, go ahead, if he thinks he's going to be safe. So he did. He did a great job. And, he was a big kid. So he didn't have that opportunity to be, in one of these mini monster trucks. If he did, he probably would have started a lot earlier. And we wouldn't have had to beg for seat time, at Del Mar. Well, I can't hear you.
Good job.
I think we're. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
All right. Well, McGruff's been through the ringer a couple times, and when Rod gets a little crazy, McGruff ends up on the roof. What happens when you need a new siren? Where do you purchase, like, where do you get the sirens for McGruff?
Well, you know, you can purchase them online now, but before we had to go to these ambulance companies that were scrapping them out, police departments, and we would just, you know, get them to give them to us, or we'd purchase them. But now online, you can buy all sorts of cool stuff.
Let's talk a little bit about the National Crime Prevention Council. Will we see the McGruff name for a long time, or is there like a contract when McGruff is no more?
Well, you know, they only do things what they say is once in a lifetime. They had a McGruff stamp, and that came out, so now there can be no more stamps with McGruff on it. So Monster Trucks, they gave this to me for life. Okay, as long as, you know, I follow the rules, you know, it's mine for life. Nobody else could come in and say, hey, you know, I want to build a McGruff truck. When I'm done with it, it's done. There is no more. I've been, 23 years campaigning the McGruff truck. Just amazing. I didn't think it was that long. It hasn't been that long. But, yeah, I'm really proud of that one, too. Right now, I don't know how it's gonna be affected by all this. It's connected with law enforcement uses it for a tool. So I don't know if people are going to boo me when I go, if I take it out, or they're going to accept it. You know, we don't know.
It's always changing climate in monster trucks, especially during everything that's going on right now. You just kind of have to go with the motions. But luckily for you, you do have those different identities that you can switch to and that are established with your name. Another big feature that's established with Rod Wood is, you mentioned, your son Murphy and your wife Karen, always at the events. A lot of times Murphy's driving the truck, your wife is in the stands taking pictures. What is does that give you extra motivation knowing that they're with you each and every weekend and they're just as big of a part of the team as you are behind the wheel?
Yeah, when I'm behind the wheel, you know, if Murphy's there, hey, you know, I could probably do some stupid stuff and he'll help me put it together, you know, get it back together. So it gives me confidence in my driving ability. Always likes, if something happens, usually it does. If you have a picture of it, that's even better. You know, that's, I get a lot of enjoyment from driving the monster truck. I really get enjoyment from doing stupid stuff, you know, trying different things. And you know, Murphy, I would say Murphy now, he drives better than I do. He's got a nice flow all of a sudden. You know, he goes out there, he makes it flow, he whips it around. So I think he is going to be the one to watch here in the future. And then I'm going to be the one fixing it.
No, I definitely love seeing Murphy compete now, and I know a lot of people do too. And who knows, maybe you can expand your team. Have you ever thought of expanding your team so that you are competing alongside Murphy or whoever in a second truck?
Well, I thought about that too, and that would kind of be nice. But I got a lot of other things going on now, and you know, so I had some injuries and stuff. I can't bottom my truck out, you know, like I used to. Can't abuse the body as much. Nowadays, things are a little crazy. You know, they go out there, they bottom these trucks out. Boy, that hurts the body. I'm reserved. I got my truck to where it's not going to bottom out. It's going to use all the suspension. I basically old man proofed it. And then I could go out there and hit stuff and it'll land really nice. You know, but there is a limit to everything.
Yeah, and it's always important in your truck to have it dialed in the way you like it and the way you like competing each and every week. And another unique feature I've always noticed with your truck, a couple years ago, Monster Jam entered a partnership with BKT, and part of the requirements to run Monster Jam events is to have the BKT tires, which – you did purchase the tires to compete in Monster Jam. But when you're outside of Monster Jam for whatever promoter or whatever body you're running, you keep the BKT tires on. And that's always something I've noticed that maybe some other teams don't necessarily do. Why do you choose to run BKTs almost every weekend?
Well, you know what? I really like the BKTs. You know, they work well for me. I'm used to them. I like them. They look cool. I just really like them. So if I like them, I'm going to keep them on there. They're actually lighter than the six plies that I was running. Still got the six plies. Just one of those things, and it does look cool on the truck. And I talk to the guys at BKT every once in a while, and you know, it's cool. People like to see the BKTs on the monster trucks.
We have a question from Lee Plato. He wants to know, Rod, when are we doing the mini cousin to your truck with the mini monsters? I'm assuming that might be a mini McGruff.
Yeah, we were talking about that before, and things. You know, that would be really cool. I would really like to, expand on that a little bit more. I think I haven't really had a really good reputation this year with the National Crime Prevention Council. We have to revisit with them and kind of work things out. They just didn't have a lot of time to sit down with me and go over details and stuff. But it's a long process dealing with them. They're very proud of the McGruff campaign, and they definitely don't want anybody giving it a black eye or anything. They require me. You know, I live my life right. I try to anyway. I don't smoke. You know, the only time I smoke is when I'm on fire, you know, but I don't drink. So I try to set the example out there, you know, so I don't want to be a hypocrite or anything. I don't mind my friends don't drink and smoke, but you know what? I just don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, the McGruff name is super important to you and has an important message to it, which is why there's only been a very few times where you're not the driver of the truck. You've had a couple times where Jimmy Lyons has been in the truck and Brian Christensen and, of course, your son Murphy. But there was a very special time where you had a famous football player do a little exhibition with the truck. Why don't you tell us who that player was and what they did inside of the McGruff truck?
Yeah, that was in Grass Valley, California for WGAS. He hooked up a deal with me with Joe Montana. And I really wasn't into Joe Montana, you know, that much. But we agreed, let him drive my truck. He was a really nice guy. I was in the cab with him. You know, he signed a fender after that. But yeah, it was a fun experience. And that was one of the many times that WGAS, they have a lot of fun things they do outside of the racetrack. And they include us in. And my claim to fame is I was on the BET Awards. You know, they were making fun of rednecks. I was like, okay, let's go. Chris Rock. That was fun. Jay Leno Garage, we were on there. It's fun. There's a lot of things that he let us participate in. And, God, I enjoy all that stuff.
Talking about that, seeing, you know, Jay Leno drive the Survivor Monster Truck, WGS does a lot of fun stuff, and I love seeing when they bring celebrities out and do fun things like that. But, you know, you've done many displays with the McGruff Monster Truck. Is there a display that sticks out to you? Like, what's your best experience doing displays?
Well, you know, of course, Vegas. You know, nothing tops Vegas. World Finals. I really missed that. That was just fun. You know, me and my wife got married, after a display at the World Finals. So that was kind of nice and kind of neat for me. You know, I don't think she really appreciated that much, but she went along with it. That's fun. National Crime Prevention Council, they'll foot the bill and have me go to Washington, D.C., block off the street in Washington, D.C., put my truck there for 3 or 4 days. That was always fun. Sometimes the DARE campaign, they'll go ahead and they'll ask us to come out, and they'll have 300-400 kids there. And it's kind of like a appreciation day for them graduating. So stuff like that is fun for me too.
You know, the McGruff Monster Truck has had many paint schemes and body styles over the years. Do you have a favorite body style or paint scheme?
I really like the one we have now. And I think this one's been on there the longest. It's more modern. It took us a while to find this. But we went with different styles, you know, with large lettering so you could read the name. And then we came up with this probably about maybe four years ago. And I really like it. I like the modern look. And like you said, the BKTs, it really sets it off. It's a really nice combination.
So looking at the McGruff name, I know a lot of people over the years have asked about McGruff merchandise, specifically a McGruff die-cast toy. I know there was a couple close calls with Hot Wheels, and now we have there's a new toy partner out there in Spin Master, a couple different people with the toys. Has there ever been any discussions to make a McGruff truck, and is there maybe any possibility to have a McGruff truck made in the future?
Well, you know, that's my goal, is to eventually get a die-cast or a toy of McGruff before I give it up one day. So that's one of my goals. It's just the licensing agreement is with National Crime Prevention Council. They're very proud and they're very particular of their stuff. So it's a lot of paperwork.
Hey, business is business. Maybe down the line we could see it. But, you know, Rod, I've known you for many years. You've helped me a lot as I've kind of grown in Monster Trucks. And we have a very unique crew of people that comes out to the events, helping at your truck or just hanging around. And one of the more unique characters, and I'm sure he's watching, is your crew chief, Frank. You know, we love Frank, and he always has a good tale. He's been around for a while. But how did you get hooked up with Frank? How did Omongo become your crew chief?
Yeah, you know what? He just started hanging around, you know, us a little bit, talking to us. You know, at first I wasn't sure about him. He's a big guy, you know, kind of burly. But you know what? That man is, he's one of my best friends, you know. He's just loyal. He's hardworking. He'll do anything we ask him to. He'll jump in there. He'll, you know, he's all in, man. He loves monster trucks, and you know, we love him, and he gets along with everybody else, all the celebrities we meet. You know, everybody likes Frank. I haven't met one guy that doesn't like Frank. So you know, yeah, he's a really good guy, and you know, I wish my seat fit him. I'd put him in my truck, let him drive it around. You know, we got to work on that. Definitely, if I ever got rid of my truck or quit, I'd make sure that he got to drive that truck before I get rid of it.
I love it, man. And make sure, guys, to leave your comments and questions here on the Monster Trucks Outlaw of the West podcast. If you have anything you want to ask Rod Wood, make sure we'll get it in. Make sure you leave your questions below. Like I said, we have a crazy crew that hangs out at these events, and really just Monster Trucks is just one big family and camaraderie atmosphere. Do you have any maybe favorite moments from, you know, the Arizona events or any events in general that just, it can only happen with that group of people in that particular moment?
Well, you know, okay, Christopher Allen. Christopher Allen, I give him a hard time. I always twisting things around on him. You know, I'm making him think, you know, so poor guy, you know, great guy. And, Christopher's a dancer. You know, someday me and him are going to have a dance off, but I think he's a little bit ahead of me. I'm not a dancer, so I don't want him to embarrass me. But, you know, we always have him, you know, demonstrate some of his dance moves. You know, it's fun. We're always joking around with everybody in our trailer. you know, it's just a blast. We're always eating. We're running around, making fun of each other, playing practical jokes. It's a one big family. Everybody, you know, we welcome everybody to come into the pits. You know, if they want to hang around, they could hang around, talk to us, sharing our stories. There's just tons of stories over the years. Like I say, we're old school. A lot of stuff from way back when, you know. For instance, you know, my kid used to wear a lot of truck stop clothes for school, you know. So I don't know if that was borderline child abuse or whatever, but he turned out all right. But, you know, it's just family. It's about family. Monster Trucks is family. And so many good people, so many good independents out there. We could sit there, talk about old times, different ideas. Everybody will help everybody on their trucks. If somebody needs a part, you know, yeah, well, I have one, you know, sure, you know, go ahead and use it, and vice versa. I really do like that, and I miss all the independent teams. You know, being an independent is so hard. I can't believe that I made it all these years, about 25 years in Monster Trucks. It's just hard to do. Sometimes you don't have money. You know, you got to scrape by to get fuel money, to get to the shows at the beginning of the year. And sometimes you blow motor after motor, and the cost is just astronomical. But, you know, we get through it. We all help each other out, you know, and I just love it. It's an awesome family. And, you know, you're included in this family, too. Everybody accepts you. And, you know, you and your dad and Christopher Allen's family, they joke with me all the time, you know, call me names, you know. But well-deserved, too. you know, like I say, I love this industry and the people that are in it.
We're like the land of misfit toys or just a box of broken crayons. That's what I would always tell any new person that, you know, came in the business or any new hire into Monster Jam. But the cool thing is, you know, once you're in the business, even if you're there for one day, you're part of it for life. Big or small, any size event, and especially those bigger events, which would be the higher caliber stadium events. You've been in a lot of them with Monster Jam. Anytime Monster Jam would be in Phoenix or Glendale, you would be there. Anytime it's on TV, you'd be in the event. But you always made sure you got in your run a slap wheelie. And that's always become a signature for Rod Wood and whatever truck you're driving. What makes your truck so good at slap wheelies compared to maybe some of the others you compete against?
Well, that would be in the shock setup. We set it up a little bit different. Lately, it's a lot harder to get a slap wheelie because I'm setting it up a little bit softer. It's all in the setup and your timing. You learn it after the years. My son's fighting with that right now, you know, to get the feel of it. He's trying to do slap wheelies, but the truck is a little bit too soft. You literally have to get up in the air, slam on the brakes, and let it fall out of the sky to get that rebound to get a nice slap wheelie. I love it, you know. I think they're great, and, you know, I just enjoy doing them. You know, sometimes I don't even know where I'm going. I'm still going, and I'm guessing. You know, I'm looking at obstacles past me, you know, on the track. I said, okay, I kind of know where I am. And that's why sometimes you see me hit something, roll over, you know. But, yeah, you know, it's a chance you take, and it just makes me happy every time I get one of those.
Well, yeah, always good seeing a Rod Wood slap wheelie. I remember being a kid, you know, Phoenix 2012, all the Phoenix shows When Rod Wood came out, you knew a slap wheelie was coming, and I always look forward to that. But we have a question from Brandon Robbins. He wants to know, were the 5 tons out of Arizona Dust Devil the same ones that were put under Hot Stuff when he had it?
No. Arizona Dust Devils, those were some really huge planetaries under that truck. Jimmy had them. He sold it to some guy in California, but that thing was, it was a monster. It was a tank. Yeah, so they were a little bit different.
We have another question from Lee Plato. He wants to know, how many third members did you tear up before getting the slap wheelie down?
You know, with this, my old chassis, which is now Bounty Hunting Team has it, I would tear them up probably every 3 or 4 shows. I was just going through them. I was pulling the pinions out of it. It's really hard on that. But now with the new housing design and everything, they seem to live it, you know, or maybe it's the touch now, now that I've got my timing down pat.
You know, there's been a lot of different trucks that have come out of Arizona, and one of the more unique ones was the Fire Drill truck, which was like a dual concept between Elgato, Volador, and Fire Drill. It hasn't competed in a couple years, but last status update, you might know its whereabouts. What can you tell us about the current state of Fire Drill?
Well, you know, that body is behind my shop. We kept the body. Tony Carnero, he bought that truck. So it all in pieces. So it's over at his, it's in California right now. And he was going to redo it and, you know, campaign it someday, but he don't have the time right now.
Absolutely. You know, seeing the growth of the sport over the years, I mean, you said it best, you've been in this 25 years, you've really have seen the sport from being something super small to the global phenomenon it is now. What has been the craziest moment in the monster truck evolution that stands out to you that you've seen firsthand?
Well, the craziest and the best part of it was when they started going to coil over shocks. That was just like an awe moment. Going to a show and watching these trucks run around with these coilovers, and we thought it was like 18 inches of suspension. You know, it may have well been, you know, 5 or 6 foot, you know, at that time. And they performed well. They hugged the track. They were making some really fast runs. That was really cool to watch that. The evolution of the suspension. John Moore, he had that quarter elliptic suspension. And that thing was so soft, and it had some incredible amount, like 52 inches of travel available. And he could hit a car and not hardly get any air out of that thing. To get air to freestyle, he would have to jack up these jacks on the truck and to get the ride height up. You know, that was really amazing. I learned a lot about suspension from him too. And, you know, the guy was just amazing to me. You know, didn't have a whole lot of money, but he made things work.
You know, Yarod, you've competed in many venues over the years. Is there a certain venue that sticks out to you, a venue that is possibly your favorite to run in?
Well, you know, I like my hometown. I like Arizona State Fair because I get to visit with a lot of people, anything in Arizona. But one of my favorite shows to do was Monster Jam in El Paso. This show is so much like the World Finals. It is just amazing. So much carnage. We sit back and we watch the trucks run after us, and we're like, oh my God, you know, it's so entertaining, even for us drivers. And I'm not sure why it's like that, but it is, it's an awesome show to be a part of.
You've competed in many El Paso shows, so I'm sure you would know. But do you have any fun on-the-road memories or on-the-road stories you can share? Any funny memories you can share on the road?
Yeah, we always do. Let's say, I think Bill was there for this one, maybe. With Sholo a couple years back, Jack of Burna barbecuing in his trailer. We went ahead, took a picture of him, and put it on Yelp, you know, for Sholo, and it was there for a long time. Stuff like that. Things like that. Mexico. Oh, we have so much fun there. You know, we steal mascots' heads and put them on, run around. We just do all sorts of crazy things that you definitely won't do here in the United States, just to entertain ourselves. But it's always fun. Always fun when some of our friends are around and some of these old-time monster truckers. We have a lot of fun, you know. Cameron, you know, he's a blast to be around at some of these shows. His brother, you know, locked him in a porta potty in Mexico, and then he got tired of us, you know, playing with it, so he left the door open and used it, and then another driver went and sat on his lap. You know, things like that. It's all fun.
You talk about El Paso and how it's the world finals. Do you have maybe a big career moment, like a moment that stands out to you, maybe a big win or something like that?
You know, that's funny. A lot of these, usually I am the person that goes first or second. They like to structure things to, like Monster Jam, to build on for the show. And then, so I'm kind of one of those guys that, will go sometimes, you know, third, fourth, fifth, depending on what they want. You know, they know I'm going to do wheelies. They know I'm going to do donuts. They know I'm more old school. I like to, you know, ride wheelies off the cars, things like that. So I don't get a lot of wins, but I've won some freestyles in Salt Lake City in the indoor arenas. Won them in Tucson. I've won, you know, I've never won a stadium. Come close, but it's really hard to win a stadium when you're going towards the final.
You were telling some of those stories. I was trying to keep myself from not laughing in the background because I was at that Sholo event, and I still think it's crazy that Jack was cooking barbecue in his trailer. And I have done an event in El Paso. Unfortunately, you weren't in the lineup, but I can definitely say that the fans in El Paso are maybe some of the most passionate. And I know it's a cliche term a lot of drivers say, but seriously, the fans in El Paso are super passionate. And just they erupt, and to me, I always think that makes the drivers drive a little louder, you know, crazier and wilder in the truck. Another thing a lot of drivers always talk about is they say they hear the crowd when you're in the truck, and you have a very unique feature on your McGruff truck, and that's the police lights. I've seen it firsthand, but why don't you tell us, those police lights maybe give you an extra bonus points with the crowd?
Yeah, that does. It's got a cool factor to it. I don't use a lot of the sirens no more. For a while there, you know, Monster Jam didn't tell me they had a recording of the siren on my intro. So I was going down doing the intros, and man, I'm hearing this siren, and I'm thinking that my siren's stuck on. So I'm beating it, you know, trying to get it to shut off. It took me probably like 5 or 6 shows to figure that out. But, you know, it's cool. It's cool, you know, the police lights, and the kids enjoy it. And I enjoy it as an adult. So, yeah.
You know, you've had the unique pleasure, I would say, of always campaigning your own truck. And outside of your time and no problem, you haven't competed in anybody else's truck. Is there a truck out there that you would have always dreamed of driving, or a truck that you got close to driving at one point. You know, you've always been the gruff man, but is there any other opportunities that maybe have gotten close to you, or you've always just had in the back of your head that you always wanted to drive?
Well, you know, always these failed trucks, because you don't have to pay for the damage, you know. So that would be fun, you know. Jimmy's truck has a lot of horsepower, so it'd be fun to, you know, drive one of those once and to kind of feel that all that torque. You know, so Darren Mingus drove my truck in Mexico for me once. Fortunately, it was having tranny issues, but you know, so I don't really know how it compares. My truck compares to some of the other trucks, but it's set up for me. But it would be fun to, you know what, T-Max truck. That thing lands so nice, you know, so soft. I'd like to take that over cars once. You know, like I say, you know, anything I didn't have to pay for parts, yeah, that'd be fun.
I think Phil needs to get his notepad out and write Darren Migas on the list of McGruff drivers.
Yes. McGruff, or was it Alpero or McGruff? Because that's new information for me.
Uh-oh, he's nerding out.
Yep, in Mexico, he drove that for me. So, in a stadium show at Monterrey, Mexico. So,
you never seem to have me speechless, Rod, and here I am, speechless.
Well, are there any other McGruff or El Perro Loco drivers we don't know about?
Well, no, other than my son. I think those are pretty much it. You know, I'm kind of particular, you know, especially the McGruff truck. Who gets into that one? Because as my contract reads, you know, they're very particular who gets in that truck. So Jimmy's been campaigning it a little bit. He enjoys it. The biggest problem with him is you know, he don't want to break it. And with mine is the harder you hit stuff, the softer it is. And I finally got that through to him, and he – you know, he does a really good job. He's wanting to go run it for me now. He works with me, so he's been asking, you know, to do some more shows.
Always love Jimmy Lyons. He's kind of become a folk hero on the monster truck internet. But you know, you've seen so many different things in person or just all around the sport. You've been a part of so many incredible moments. What's to you your proudest moment in the monster truck business?
Well, you know what? It would have to be in Mexico. I'll tell you what. And I think it was Monterrey, Mexico. I might be wrong or whatever. But we did a show. You know, we brought down the house. Awesome. One freestyle. And, you know, time for trophies. So I got a really cool trophy. And then I look over and I see this little boy. Matter of fact, he reminded me of myself when I was a little kid. So, you know, I walked over there and he was just so happy. I gave him the trophy and, you know, it meant the world to him. You know, it's like, you know, here he is. He didn't know what he did to deserve this. He was really shy and he was in awe. We have a picture of him holding that trophy. Proudest kid ever, you know, really didn't say much. But that was one of my truly good moments.
What do you want your legacy to be when this is all said and done? I know you're immortal, Rod, but
yeah.
What do you want fans or competitors or whatever to remember you by?
Well, what I'm known for is the positive role model. And, you know, I you know, some people say, yeah, you're kind of an ass, you know. I ain't going to say who say that, but they're going to put that on my tombstone, they say. But, you know, I have fun. I'm the fun guy. I'm kind of a little bit over the top. I say a lot of stuff I shouldn't say just to get a laugh, to get reactions out of people. A lot of people are used to me now. But basically is, you know, I lived my life right. you know, a positive role model, you know, through and through. So, you know, the McGruff campaign is probably one of my proudest achievements. Having that so far for 23 years and still going, and not having a hiccup with it at all. That's proud to be. I'm very proud of that.
You know, why not end with one more question? And it's from the one and only Frank Ramirez. He wants to know, where does Rod get his favorite tacos when he's not at home?
Oh, that would be Mexico, man. We live for those tacos in Mexico. You know, the promoters, they want to take us out for steak dinners or whatever. We're like, no, we want to go to that cart right there on the corner. You know, we'll just eat those tacos every day that we're there. It's just incredible. We enjoy that stuff. But yeah, tacos, you know, I live off of those. You know, I love them. You know, Frank comes down to help me out. First thing I do, you know, we go eat tacos, you know, at this taco cart down here in Tucson. That is just amazing. You know, I like to eat, you know, what could I say, you know, tacos.
Tacos, you heard.
Leave it to Frank to, you know, ask just such riveting rhetoric like that, you know.
I'm surprised nobody commented on my artwork that I purchased. My wife has a hard time with it. She's an artist or whatever, right there behind me, you know. So, you know, I had to, you know, basically do a lot of things to let her let me put it up there, my Kramer. Yep, something we're proud of.
Everybody has their idols, Rod, and yeah. I know I've always looked up to you. I see our Tommy Evans is in the comments, another one of our guys that comes out to the events and helps out. You helped him get a foot in the door. There's just so many people that you've given an opportunity to, you know, big or small, and that's, again, what it's all about. It's about giving back and just having a great family atmosphere at the event.
Yeah, you know, this, like I say, it's a family event. I really like seeing these young guys. I like seeing Tommy. I like him to do well. You know, he loves monster trucks. You know, he wants to be a part of it so bad. You know, and he got into monster trucks this year. You know, things started taking off for him. And, you know, it's just, I'm proud to see people do good. You know, I'm proud to watch these independent teams take off, do well, have fun, because it is so hard to be an independent in this industry. So you see people come, you see people go, but I'll tell you what, if you're an independent, you're somebody in this business.
Oh yeah, Rod, we want to thank you for coming on. Do you have any closing words before we send you off?
No, I want to thank you guys, you know, for having me on. It's been fun. Wife was a little bit worried about me saying something I shouldn't say, you know, which is pretty common. But, you know, I had fun, and I appreciate it. You know, it's a good time for me.
I know we definitely had a great time here. Like I said, Rod, you've helped me out a lot over the years. If it wasn't for guys like you, there's no way I'd be on this podcast, even talking to you, having some kind of platform to ask you nerd questions. So always appreciate hanging out with you and always never forgetting where you come from. No matter how big or small you grow in the business, you never forget where you started. And it's always at those small events that you just laugh a little harder and you appreciate things a little more. And I am always appreciative whenever I'm at the events with you, Rod. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Rod, for coming on. We hope to have you on again sometime. But, you know, I think it was a good episode, and thanks for sharing some interesting stories. I really enjoyed hearing about the full 3D McGruff. I didn't know that was a thing. So we'll definitely catch up again, maybe in a future episode. Who knows? Maybe with Murph. But thanks for coming on, Rod. Great episode with Rod Wood. I hope everyone got their questions answered. Phil? I think this was a great episode. I mean, I learned a lot. What about you?
Well, I definitely learned a lot. You know, Rod shocked me by telling me that he had somebody else drive El Perro Loco that I didn't know about. But But, you know, I always drive it home. Rod's one of the great guys in the business. You know, he's seen and done so many incredible things, especially here on the West Coast. And it's always a big family atmosphere. And if you had to pick one guy that, you know, is the epitome of that, it's always Rod Wood. It's always great to hear his insights, and it's always great to see him at the events.
Always good to hear about tacos as well. But we're going to move on. Next Friday night, who do we have on?
I don't know. Why don't we find out? Do you have something to play for us?
I might have something to play for us. Wait, here it is.
I'm going to tell you, I'll be about 20 feet in the air off of this Mercedes here. Wait till that van stag gets hit. You better be looking up in the air.
Be having on Wally Turner, driver of the Sniper Moss truck, owner of the Hitman Ride truck. Phil, what do you think about that? Any closing words?
Man, I love Wally. I've known Wally for the last number of years. He's a longtime fan that slowly got his way into the sport. He's still kind of one of those rising stars that's out there in Utah and throughout the West Coast, and I can't wait to hear what he's going to bring to our podcast next week.
Wally's a great guy, always bringing enthusiasm to shows. But I want to thank everyone for supporting the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. I want to thank you for coming out, supporting us, sharing, liking. You know, it means a lot. We've been overwhelmed with the views we've been getting and support. And I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. And we'll see you next time, next Friday night, 6 o'clock Pacific time.